Hi everybody, Terry Brown at Bass Fan Radio again, and Andy Warhol said one time that everybody had 15 minutes of fame, but Kelly Jordan found 30 minutes in a day, and now he's going to get a lot more than 15 minutes worth of fame. Kelly, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Terry. Glad to be here.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the win. Number one, you know, 30 minutes of the hottest fishing you can ever imagine, and you stroked them there for 30 minutes, won the event.
Yeah, it was a fantastic event, and, you know, I was very fortunate to come out on top, and it was an awesome experience.
Well, you know, you look back at it, you know, and a lot of guys, you know, they'll quit, they'll get down in the dumps, they don't have any fish in the boat, or they may have one or two fish in the boat, but you knew you were on something, you felt like you could catch some big fish, and you just kind of kept after it, and all of a sudden that 30-minute sprint, man, that was a good race right there.
Oh, it was just incredible. It's everybody's dreams, you know, to have happen, and, you know, you gotta be in the area that has the big ones and know and have the pattern for that to happen. And then you're just fishing as hard as you can, trying to make it happen. And when it does, it's a special thing.
Well, you look at 23 pounds the last day, and you kind of blew the doors off of it with a 4-pound victory. But, you know, you're sitting there, and you got that flipping stick on. You're sitting there thinking, hey, I know I can catch them. I'm going to go through this mat, and I'm going to catch some fish. But do you expect that you'd catch them that quickly?
Well, you can always catch them that quick. You know, that's the way that kind of fishing is. It's not that way very often, but when you get a hot little streak of them and they're biting for whatever reason, maybe they have a little window when they're feeding, yeah, it can happen quick. And getting three in that little stretch, you know, exceeded all my expectations, but surely could happen. I caught those three so fast, I was like, you know, starting to think, man, if I get two more, this could be incredible.
You look back at it, and, you know, these mat fish, it seems like at Okeechobee, they can load up real quick. You know, it's like the big females move in, they get underneath that mat. It may be a place where maybe the males are sitting around beating around on it, but then all of a sudden the big females come in and it can happen real quick.
Yeah, that's for sure. And the way that they are, you know, holding this time of year as well, you know, they're staging coming in to spawn. So, you know, you can actually, you know, catch a pretty good school of them in an area. That's what happens most of that time. You just get a little spot and there's just a loosely associated school right in there of big females, and that's what happened to me.
Well, you know, let's talk a little bit about technique, and, you know, a lot of people think you just flip it and it drops through the hole and then the fish bites it, but these fish were pretty finicky. Didn't you kind of have to feed it to them?
Well, yeah, most of the time we do. We, you know, there's a lot of things that you do when you're fishing a mat. A lot of the bites are initial fall. Most of the time, that's usually probably around half of your bites. Sometimes when they're really active, or you know, the conditions are right and it's, you know, a little warmer, you can really call them over to your bait and shake that, you know, up and down for a long time. I've left a bait in a mat for as long as a minute, and when I just knew there was one there, and man, it's amazing how often you can finally get one to come over there and you know, grab that, whatever you're flipping tube, crawl tube or whatever. The key to what you're doing is, you know, what I always do is I flip it in there first time and you want it to fall real quick. You know, sometimes, and you got to let the fish tell you what they're doing, and sometimes it's better just to let it ease it on down with your rod tip, but as, you know, general rule, just let it throw in there, you know, flip in there and let it fall really quick. That gets the reaction strike. Usually, what I usually do is leave it on the bottom and give it a couple short hops in case one of them followed it down, you know, maybe in your mind, picture a betting fish looking at a bait on the bottom. You know, I'll shake it a few times on the bottom, see if one gets it. If that doesn't happen, I pull it up right to the top and I hit the bottom of the mat. You can feel it, you know, when you're coming back through. And wiggle it just at the top of the mat, you know, at the highest level where you can get your bait and still be underneath it. And then sometimes I'll shake it right there and maybe hit it pretty hard up against the top just trying to generate a strike and then let it fall back down. And then sometimes I'll give it a real hard hop or two in there. And if nothing happens by then, I'll usually take it out and move it on.
Well, you know, you're using a craw that you've got a lot of confidence in there at Lake Fork with, the, you know, the craw tube. And you also used a rattle, as I understand.
Yeah. Rattle's really important in the bait that I'm throwing, in my opinion, for me. Now, everybody has their own little deal, but when you're fishing a mat and you're trying to call a fish over and it's nice and dark underneath there, I think it'd be pretty hard to go wrong, you know, with a rattle. And it can only enhance the number of fish that you catch.
Well, you know, you look at this thing, Kelly, you know, you've won some BASS events, been to the Classic, had a great Classic last year, looked like you had a chance to win it, but this is the first FLW championship you've won.
Yeah, it's a great feeling. You know, it's a great organization. It's one of the two pro professional tours that we have right now, and I fished them for several years. And you know, I've always been the guy working the Yamaha booth, you know, watching that. And I've missed a couple times, you know, getting that top 10. I've made the cut once before, and that was on Okeechobee when they cut to 20. That was about 3 or 4 years ago. Never made the top 10. Had several opportunities, and it just always just didn't work out for me. It was really weird. As a matter of fact, at the Red River in Shreveport, Louisiana one time, I had a piece of grass get stuck in my live well and clogged it for a little bit, and I had three fish die. Cost me a 1.5 pound penalty, and I missed the cut by 1 ounce. Just weird stuff like that. So it felt great to finally make it, get in there, and experience the excitement of that whole round robin, you know, weigh one fish at a time deal.
Well, you know, you look at this thing, and you talk about both leagues. You know, bass just upped the ante quite a bit with the Classic going to spring and all the great things that could happen through that. But then you got FLW that's raised the bar all along. So it's looking like maybe an angler can make some money at this thing finally.
Yeah, it's a great time to be an angler, and you know, more and more anglers are able to make a living in fishing, which is just a fantastic deal for everyone involved. It's really nice, you know, to see what's going on in fishing, and both of the great tours are really stepping up to the plate and really, you know, bringing the sport along. It's really awesome to see.
Well, you're at Toho practicing, I think, right now for the event that's coming up with the BASS start of the year, and the fish got to be biting there as well, I would think.
Yeah, they're biting a little bit. We just had a severe cold front. Last night was the coldest night of this winter so far in Orlando, Florida. It was right around freezing, actually. I think some places it was like 29 or 30. That kind of knocks them down a little bit because, you know, the lakes are so shallow here. There's really no deep water to kind of hold some heat, and that really puts a crimp in their style. And believe it or not, you know, they were biting a little bit today. I talked to a couple guys that caught a few, and I had several bites, and it makes it pretty exciting to see what might happen because we're supposedly in a warming trend. It's going to be a lot warmer the next several days and on into the tournament.
Well, if you're looking for sympathy from somebody that lives in the north, you can forget it because it's not going to happen. You know, we're frozen to death up here, had a bunch of snow in the last few days, and we have no sympathy at all for 32 degrees. Matter of fact, we get 32 degrees, we're out sitting in our lounge chairs.
Yeah, but I'm in Florida. I came here, I brought T-shirts and shorts and sandals, and I haven't been able to do, you know, wear any of those yet. I've fished, I think this is my eighth day to fish in the state of Florida. Now, since, you know, from the FLW and now practicing for bass, and I've worn my thermal underwear every day except for one.
Well, you know, you look at this thing. Now you're going to go at Toho, you got the BASS event, then you shift gears again, FLW event, back at Toho again. So this is kind of a pre-practice, good tournament, and then pre-practice again for you.
Yeah, well, you know, the conditions I'm sure will be different. They always are in Florida. Florida changes really quickly, always does. But, yeah, it's great, you know, to kind of get a feel, you know, for how the lake is, you know, what kind of shape the lake is in after the hurricanes and, you know, the grass beds and everything like that. What that'll do is make it probably a little bit easier to pattern the fish. In 2 weeks when we're here for the FLW, they may be doing a total different thing than they're doing now. And if you get a pattern going, I'll probably be a lot more familiar than some guys, kind of where more of the same kind of things are happening or occurring in the lake, you know, same kind of situations and, you know, layouts to say, you know, maybe a certain cove or a certain point. I know where more stuff, similar stuff is, so it could help.
Well, you know, you look at this thing, and real quickly here as we finish up our interview, but are you use this to pre-fish for the bass event, which is very, very important. You want to do well there because of all the monies and stuff. But then you're kind of using a little bit, maybe looking for some things that will happen next week, right?
You mean a Harris chain next week for
yeah,
the second
that's right.
bass?
That's right. The second time you come to Toho, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, certainly. You know, I'll be able to build off of it, but I'd love to find a thing going on that'll be going on in 2 weeks, but that's very seldom the case. And as a professional fisherman, you really have to watch that because you know, if you put it's almost like, you know, the local curse. If you've been there for a week and then have a week off and come back the next week, think it's going to be the same, and trying to force the same things that are going on, you're probably going to get shot down. And that's part of, you know, being a pro. You kind of have to let the fish tell you what's going on, and especially in Florida, you really can't have too much preconceived notions at all.
Well, you got week to week to week to week to week fishing, a couple of weeks off in between there. But Kelly, great win with the FLW at Okeechobee. Best of luck at Toho, then to Harris, and then back to Toho again.
I know, it's all over the place, isn't it? But it's great to be in Florida in the cold part of the year, I'll tell you that.
I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.